Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hello and welcome, dear listener, to another episode of the Guitar Nerds Podcast, episode 8, season 5. I'm your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello, Mr. Joe.
Hello, Mr. Matt.
For exclusive watches only. Look, Boss Merch, Joe. Boss Merch.
You had so much merch.
I did.
Obviously, dear listener, we're going to be talking about Jason, the guy who organizes the guitar show, corrected me because, you know, I always moan about the name of the guitar show. He was like, it's not the guitar show, it's the guitar show.
That's how you do it.
So it was the guitar show in Birmingham, not in Alabama, in Birmingham in the UK, dear listener.
Birmingham, Alabama.
This weekend. So Matt and me went to that, and Matt was obviously working on the Boss stand. I was there with JD. You know, we all got to check out loads of stuff. And Matt, you brought the most amount of merch for Boss, and it was all like super nerdy, super cool merchandise.
Yeah. So I guess this weekend I was there with Boss. It's the first one we've done since 2020.
Really? You did 2020?
We did, yeah. Like... So the Guitar Show 2020 was February the last weekend of February. And at that point, people had sort of heard of COVID, no one cared about COVID. And we had our big stand, we had bowls of sweets and hand sanitizer because we were like, safety first. And literally we packed that show down. We packed the show down on the Sunday. I was in the office on the Monday, and I was like, things are starting to get a bit strange. And I think Wednesday I was like, better take some stuff home in case I need it. And I think Thursday was lockdown.
Wow. I see. You're absolutely right. It was 2020. I always think of it being like 2018 or 2019. I don't know. Deep in the past. But 2020, you're right. So that was the last one you did. And then, you got a bit of a cough there, Matt.
I have, yeah. So that's the last one we did. That cough is because of talking very loudly for the last three days.
Yeah.
We didn't do last year. And then we thought, right, we're going to do this year. And we just wanted to, it was our 50th anniversary last year. And we just thought, like, people need to be branded up. People need to have stuff. People like stuff. So that's what we did. So we had some t-shirts made for watchers. You'll be able to see this.
I did get one, but I'm wearing my Frederick Effects t-shirt today.
Oh, that is cool, though. It's got some dogs on it with a bit of script, which I can't read.
Well, it's the thing, that band. Oh, I've forgotten the name. Live on the podcast.
Oh, really famous band. But yeah,
Youth. It's a Sonic Youth t-shirt redone to be about Frederick Effects.
Now we know. So, So we bought a bunch of merch and we thought it'd be great to brand people up. So we did nice rubber wristbands, which people on the YouTube will see. We did t-shirts, we did stickers, and we had a bunch of pedals there and a good time.
We did have a good time. The stickers were very popular. Even people on the Facebook group were like, I put up a picture of everyone's you, me, stickers, and JD, and everyone was like, where can I get these stickers? You should. You should make those stickers available to the general public.
I think
you should do more merch, Matt.
I know. But do you know what? I probably, whether I should say this or not, but there's a company called, which I'm sure most people know. There's
I know
a,
this
a
theory.
Company called Redbubble. And people basically make lots of unofficial bits of merchandise for many popular things. And if you go there and you type in Boss, you will see many Boss designs, which I cannot actually endorse. And that is absolutely, it is bonkers what people are putting up there. Like rip off stickers and stuff like that. And I'm just like, how is this like, how is this possible? And some are like genuinely like kind of cool and funky designs. And some of them are like, you've basically done a screenshot of a logo and then just like put it on there as like a, on a t-shirt. So yeah. And I can't endorse the quality or the officialness of anything on that website.
But, you're starting to get things like that, not from Redbubble, because I believe Redbubble actually largely you know, do actual stuff, but yeah. You get loads of it on like on Facebook these days, where suddenly I'll be notified that a post that Guitar Nerds has put up has got like a bunch of interaction, and it will be that someone with a fake t-shirt account has tagged every single member of like the Guitar Nerds group on a post and upload and been like, get your free official merch with this link, and has screenshot the Nerds logo.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's very annoying. But anyway, apart from that, there was other cool merch, which I'm sure we'll get to. But everyone loves a free t-shirt, or paid for t-shirt. You know, we do like supporting the brands out there. But picks, many other things. So it was a good. It was a very good show, good start. But we wanted to go there full brand, make cool stickers, make cool things that people would wear always. And that was a good start to the show. But yeah, first one we'd done since 2020. And it was I would say this, Joe, about the show. Two things I noticed. It was the busiest I think I ever remember. It was definitely the busiest one I've ever been to.
Jason said it was 40% up on last year.
And it wasn't as loud as previous shows. So for maybe listeners who remember previous shows, or people who have been to a guitar show before, they have a very unique thing at Birmingham, which is looking and listening time and then quiet time. So every 30 minutes they rotate between those two things. So looking and listening time is volume, and then everything else is headphones. And I tell you what, Joe, the show generally was much quieter this year.
Right. Yeah.
And walking around, I think it's because so many people demo everything through headphones.
Well, the thing is, in general, so I really don't like headphones. There are lots of things that I won't even bother to demo on headphones. Fuzz pedals, for example. What's the point? I can't tell what's driving. But you're right in that the alternative is demoing through an amplifier, and it is just so very, very difficult to actually hear anything. You can't really get an idea, certainly not for an effects pedal unless you're wearing headphones, and you certainly can't get an idea for a drive or a fuzz pedal on headphones. So for companies that make fuzz pedals or drive pedals, and we're going to talk about drive pedals launched at the show, it's very difficult, I think, because it's awkward to have a good sound. But there are lots of great solutions. Obviously, people are getting better at coming up with decent headphone solutions. I saw a lot of the new Two Notes. Is it Opus? I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah. I mean, quite a few people with like Katanas, as much as, you know, I'm on the company clock, but Katanas through headphones, because a lot of people like plugging into amps and then headphones out of amps.
Sure.
But yeah, also quite a lot of multi-effects. I thought quite a lot of people were using multi-effects. You know, maybe everyone just needs an IR2, Joe. I don't know. But I think certainly headphone solutions have become a lot more popular because of shows like this. In a couple of weeks, I think we're going to the Stompbox Deli in London, in Hackney. And that's all headphones. Like, you're not allowed to take an amplifier. So I think
a lot
of shows...
You've got to bring your own guitar to that one as well.
You have got to bring your own guitar. Didn't stop about 2,000 people last time bringing their own guitars. so I think that's, you know, that's good, because it just meant that I think the feedback that loads of people gave the organizers last time was it was too loud. Like, you basically, yeah. I don't know if you remember, Joe, like 2020, I remember saying to my team that I got the decibel meter out and it like peaked at like 106, which is basically like being in the middle of a construction site for 8 hours a day. It was like unbearable. You couldn't have any conversations.
Yeah.
Where this time it felt far more sensible.
I feel like they had trialed it in the past. I think they were doing like 45 minutes on, 15 minutes off, but they definitely hit the balance right with half an hour on, half an hour off. I mean, I felt sorry for example, like Adrian and Mikey round at the Thorpe Effects and Redbeard Effects booth, just because they were right next to a company, an Eastern European company called Doro Guitars or something like that. But they basically on the second day constantly had three sort of very pirate rocky looking Eastern Europeans shredding painfully averagely constantly. So as soon as it was like you couldn't really demo anything on their booth, because they obviously worked on the booth, but
crowd
time, they just started soloing badly for for averagely, not badly, but for the entire time. So sort of Adrian and Mikey were like,
yeah. I also think I did walk past Hello Sailor a few times, and I think they were perhaps blasting out the volume as well.
They definitely were. I was at Great Eastern Effects trying to have a conversation that was very difficult, although I didn't mind too much, because Hello Sailor, Joe from Hello Sailor, he brought the Gibson Melody Maker that I sold him at at the London Guitar Show in like 2019 or something like that. So
yeah, that was cool. Yeah, I think it was 2019, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's cool. But yeah, no, overall though, I would say a very, very busy, very positive experience. I thought the catering was better this time. The little calf was also a thing. Oh, I've just done the...
You've done a little
thumbs up.
I've just
realized a little reaction there. That's a thumbs up for the catering there.
Yes, it was better. Me and JD could eat, both being vegans. Last year was very, very difficult because the convention center, dear listener, is near absolutely nothing, because the Birmingham Guitar Show, or the Guitar Show, is no longer in Birmingham. It's in a suburb of Birmingham called Solihull, which is suburbia. And the thing about suburbia, wherever it is, I'm not, you know, having a go at Solihull, all of suburbia is crap. And this was an especially crap suburbia. So there was nothing around.
I would say, though, big shout out to Patchouli's Indian restaurant in Solihull Centre, which we went to on Saturday night, Joe.
That was very good.
Excellent curry with vegan options as well. Excellent curry. So next time you're around, if you want food, shout out to those guys. Definitely not sponsored. I'm pretty sure he is not going to be listening to the Guitar Nerds podcast at any point.
They were very good. I had a very nice meal. We did
they
all
were
get to
very,
you,
very
you know
good.
You, me, Matt, and you and me and JD and all the boss guys got to go out for a nice curry on the Saturday night.
We did indeed. But yeah, overall, I thought they've obviously listened. They made lots of improvements. There was lots of people there. I'm no doubt it's going to be even bigger next year. And just the amount of great people. You know, it really solidified to me how many nice people we know and how many nice people we still need to know. But just so many nice and positive conversations with so many great brands. I thought, you know, I generally just made me feel like there's so many great friendships, and I wish there was more way that you could hang out with everyone, but it's just like you almost want a day where no one attends and you just get to walk around the booth and hang out with other people that work there.
As a community driven thing, I think the Guitar Show is very, very good. It's wonderful getting to see all of our friends who are in other brands, and I just think there's a lovely unity between, you know,
all the
luthiers and amp makers and pedal makers.
Absolutely.
It's really lovely to get to be a part of. We had a wicked time. Now on this podcast, Matt and I are going to try and talk to to you, dear listener, about some of our favorite things that we've checked out. I uploaded a bunch of pictures onto the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook, and of course you did too, dear listener, because there were quite a lot of you at the guitar show. I got to speak to loads of you, which is really nice. Some briefly, some more in depth. Others I got to go out for drinks with. So it was very, very good. It was lovely to see so many of you. And of course, you've all posted your favorite bits. There are certain things that are obvious talking points, and I think we're going to try and get into those. We're not going to mention all of these, because next week me and JD are going to do a podcast as well, so that we can talk about the things that JD and I saw on the show. But I think, Matt, we've got to start off with what I think was probably the winner of most ridiculous thing that was at the guitar show. And that was won once again for the second year in a row by Fidelity Guitars, with the very guitar that I shared on the group a little while ago, dear listener. It's the DB Dustin Babich built fretless baritone with a sustainer built in. But the sustainer pickup is specially designed by NRG Effects in order to be able to control each string individually. So you have a switch on the bridge where you can switch on and off a sustainer for each string. The idea being you can create a drone note, so you don't have to use your right hand for that. You can just, that's going to ring constantly, so you can just fret around, you can just slide around. And then maybe you do that, say, on the maybe you do that on the D string, and then you make some nice little triads with the E and the G, or not triads, you know, little two note chords. Make the triad with the third note, with the D and the G. And so it basically means you can do cool things by mixing strings that you can pick and strings that you can leave just sustaining infinitely. It was ridiculous. Also, in a custom paint job by, I think it's Missy, I think is the name of the artist.
I will check for you, Joe.
Thank you. All this information is on the Fidelity Instagram. And so custom paint job by an artist, NRG built-in effects, fretless baritone in the DB body shape, which is a single cut, which was conceived for Dustin Babich on a previous custom build that he'd made. It is quite an undertaking of an instrument.
I think it's also worth mentioning that podcast listener, which I love.
And also podcast listener, yeah.
I just think that's just who apparently had not heard of them until they'd listened to this podcast. Yeah. So, that's the second crazy one I think he's had as well, right? Because the other one was also had a feedback pitch controlled trem arm system in, if I remember rightly.
That's right, yeah. It was some sort of energy based cool pitch effect that you controlled via the trem arm. Dustin Babich has got some great guitars. He has a lovely, I'm pretty sure he has like a fretless Grez hollow body bass as well. He's basically got a great collection of weird instruments that he's never ever going to be able to sell.
I love it. And because I'm not on social very much, I've also just clocked on their Instagram. They built a very, very tasteful, sparkly Stella Rosa for Jackson Brooksby.
Yes, that's right. In well, a sort of a, like cool, a midnight blue. I was like, when I saw this, I was like, because Jackson Brooksby, previously of Dipswitch Demos, dear listener, now Jackson Brooksby, you should be, he's been on the podcast, you should be watching his YouTube videos, you should be checking him out on Instagram. He has a great guitar collection, but whenever I see him playing, he's playing like that Heritage that he's got, or he's playing maybe a Gibson, or sort of recently I've seen him, I think with a Strat, and I'm like, I didn't even realize he had a Fidelity. And I spoke to him and he was like, yeah, it's actually the guitar he gigs with the most.
Right.
He just doesn't do his YouTube stuff with it the most, because it's always, you know, I guess being stored elsewhere maybe to be used live. But that is a gorgeous, gorgeous guitar. A lovely Stella Rosa with a pair of gold foils.
Yeah. Yeah. Something similar to that.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was great to talk to Matt. He's not too far away from where I live now. So I said, you know, it'd be great to go to the workshop at some point and spec out some sort of pink sparkly thing. You know, I just love just love everything about Fidelity guitars. We've talked about them loads.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just make, every time we go, just make such cool instruments. I think one of the ones they had there, which was available, was just looking at it, it was a Shell Pink Stella Rosa Light. So that's the kind of one pickup one.
I was going to mention that to you if you want one. I think there's For Sale is one of the showpieces.
Shell Pink Black Scratch Plate,
Stella Rosa.
Yeah, it was kind of like a really dark tortoiseshell scratch plate, Wenge board, maple neck, Mojo pickups, and then a Goldo 5 Trem with Goto tuners.
That's extremely cool.
And comes with a Boss gig bag. So
yeah, all Fidelity stuff come with a Boss gig bag now. Do you know the name of the gig bag?
CB EG20.
Yeah, I'd never
seen
these.
CB EG10. They're amazing gig bags.
I use them all the time.
Yes.
Yeah, they're actually great. Like, dear listener, if you've not checked them out, they're really robust, very proper, sort of mono-esque. I only say that because I think Mono were the first people to really go, what if we make gig bags rubbish?
Yeah.
And certainly the Boss one is very, very good. It looks great.
Although I keep seeing pictures of the Stella Rosa Deluxe and I'm like, oh, imagine like a sparkly pink one of those.
So the Stella Rosa Deluxe, dear listener, is the Stella Rosa body shape, which is based on the Stella Japonica, an old catalog guitar from the 60s. But the Deluxe has three Charlie Christian pickups with large metal surrounds in them. And it has the, what's the bridge called? What's the trem called?
Mastery?
Mastery. Thank you. A Mastery trem. It's there's a lot of metal on that guitar.
Actually, Descendant Trem, sorry.
Descendant.
Which is the other one.
That's what I was thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Oh, Matt. He just makes such great guitars. Brian as well, awesome demo guy they had on the stand alongside with Hampstead. Just
Brian
so,
Love,
so cool.
Who works for Hampstead Amplifiers. Hampstead Amplifiers aren't a company we speak about enough, mainly because they don't really release a lot of new products. But their range of amplifiers is fantastic. I've been thinking recently, well, you know, this year I want to use plugins less and use real stuff more. And because my amps are combos, that kind of makes it a little bit tricky. You know, I can't really get an Oxbox or the Boss one. What's the Boss one called? The
Tube Amp Expander.
Tube Amp Expander. There we go. You know, I can't get one of those for use with a combo, and I don't really own any heads other than the Ignator 15, Tweaker 15 that's behind me on a shelf.
God, do Ignator even still exist?
I don't know. But also, that head, I think I bought it for like 150 quid, and I put it on my shelf as shelf decoration. I've never even plugged it in. I have no idea if it works. I don't have any cabs. I only have combos.
Oh, dear.
So who knows? But yeah, I was thinking, yeah, maybe I should get a head and something like a Tube Amp Expander and actually be able to, you know, be able to capture pedals a bit better, because I think pedals hit power amps and preamps in real gear much better than they do plugins. I spend quite a lot of time. As fantastic as the Neural DSP, Corey Wong and Tone King plugin are, which I use for an awful lot of our stuff, I have to do a lot of tweaking depending on the pedal that I'm running into it, because digital stuff just, you know, when you've got an interface there as well, so much of the gain staging is getting confused in all of that. It's tricky. Guitar Nerds is sponsored by Stringjoy Guitar Strings, the world's first true guitar string custom shop. The thing that I love most about Stringjoy is just their attention to detail, their dedication to making their strings the best in the world. And that's a labour-intensive task that they don't shy away from. Stringjoy are also innovative. They're always looking for new ways to make strings better. As guitar players, we've become so used to all the shortfalls of commercially available strings that we stopped even looking for them to be better, last longer, intonate well, easily. Stringjoy bring all of that to every pack of strings they make, and they're available almost as readily as any other generically made guitar string. Stringjoy strings are available at stringjoy.com and at 400 plus dealers across the globe. If your local store doesn't stock Stringjoy yet, ask them to. Anyway, my point is, I need a head that does everything. You know, the Hampstead Soundworks make pretty awesome stuff, like high-end, classy, British-built 20-watt all-valve amplifiers, classic sounds. That kind of thing could be my vibe.
It could be. It could be. That and a tube amp expander, Joe, and you'll be rocking. No more plugins for you, sir.
No, exactly.
But yeah, they always team up on the... I don't know if they're near each other, but those two brands are always together. But again, great to see Fidelity. Great to see them doing stuff differently. And actually, one thing I would say about all the brands, certainly all the boutique brands, a lot of boutique brands there, it's just so heartwarming to see so many great small brands succeed and people to be able to make a life and a career from doing this kind of thing. And you know, guys like Matt just being like, I'm so busy. I'm just like, you know, I think when we first started talking about Fidelity, the wait time was like, he was saying that it was like a few weeks, because when you ordered the guitar, that was the only order. And I think his wait time now is somewhere between 6 and 9 months.
It's 12 months. His wait time is 12 months. He has 40 guitars to build at the moment, like in the catalog. That is... I mean, I've just added a new one to it.
So maybe I need to order one now, and then at least I don't have to pay for it for a year.
Yeah.
Maybe exactly. That's it.
I mean, he's doing so well, and he's doing so well because it's if you like catalog guitars, but, you know, because I am forever hovering over the purchase button on a 60s Silvertone. Mm. And the reason I don't is because I know that it's not going to work.
It's
not going to stay in tune. It is actually going to be... When I get over the cool nicheness of that Silvertone, I can't use it for anything. It's not like I play in a guitar in a band outside of here. When I play guitar, most of the time it's because I'm making the jingles or the demos, which largely, dear listener, you're going to want to be in tune. So Silvertone's not an option. Fidelity, on the other hand, are offering me all the looks, all the cool classiness of a catalog guitar with all the reliability of a modern one. And they're really, you know, their prices are pretty good.
I mean, again, that is the thing. You know, the starting prices are so good. You know, you can make them as expensive as you want. I was surprised
Dustin Babbage clearly does.
Yeah, he's like, you know, but why not? Why not? I mean, again, perhaps not the most resellable of guitars in the future, but then that shouldn't be the reason that you buy an instrument just so you can sell it in the future.
I know. I mean, I like, because I think the thing for me is I like the thrill of a purchase. So I think almost everything I buy is to sell again. Dustin Babbage, that money's gone, you know. That money's gone. the fretless hollow body Grez with a flame top. The two Fidelities he has with built-in effects. One of them a fretless baritone with flat-wound labellas.
I say why not. But yeah, that's great. You know, again, so good start. Yeah, Fidelity, awesome.
Great, great guitar. Now, before we go any further, I do want to talk about the fact that we did get to check out, Matt, the audience-built Guitar Nerds guitar from the Vintage Guitars Pro Shop. That was pretty cool. They brought it along for the idea was that I was going to take it back, but
you forgot. But
no, I didn't forget. I didn't forget. I got the train and they were like, I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, I'll take it back. And they were like, great, we'll get the box. I was like, no, I'm not taking a cardboard box with the guitar on a 4-hour journey back to Brighton. So I declined. I let them take it back and I'll sort it out later down the line.
Fair enough.
But we did get to check it out and it was fantastic. And all the listeners that were there at the guitar show got to go and check it out. I had people telling me that it was set up really well and played great. I actually just basically, you know, sort of held the guitar for a bit. I didn't really sit and play it because I only got time with it during setup on the first day, on the Friday. So I didn't have the ability to sort of plug it in or play it or anything like that. But what did you think, Matt? You got to see it.
I did. You know, I think the main thing for me is it's amazing that you can customize and have a custom guitar out of that factory for like basically no money. Just, you know, it was so good to see that process from start to finish and then actually see it finished and go, that's a great guitar. And it's a brand that you wouldn't expect to have a custom shop. And this thing has come out amazing. Like, it, you know, I would say perhaps not the same level as a Fidelity or things like that that we're talking about, because it's not that sure. hands-on, it's not that one-on-one, but
no.
very much a kind of, I don't mean this in a bad way, but very much like your dream parts caster put together by someone in a really professional way, delivered to your door. Do you know what I mean? It's like a better job than you probably, certainly I would have done trying to put that thing together. And you can basically have whatever you want. So I think that's a real advantage of that vintage pro shop, being yeah. able to go, you know what, I want to dream something. Perhaps not as crazy as the Fidelity baritone with inbuilt effects, but you want to be able to dream something and make it happen and not spend a bunch of money. You know, so for me, I think that was just a real highlight to see that the process works and it's a great guitar at the end of it.
Yeah, absolutely. The fellas on the vintage guitars booth, because they are vintage, are owned by John Hornby Skewers, a British distributor, dear listener, JHS abbreviated, obviously not the JHS.
JHS that you might think of.
Exactly. But they're there with them and they distribute a lot of companies. So they also have like Dan Electro for the UK, for example, and Lava Guitars, Lava Music, those acoustics with all the built-in effects, and a few others. They also had their Revo, which is the new sort of vintage inspired weird, it's almost them vintage doing catalog style guitars, so sort of Burns-esque pickups, maybe like bound hollow body offsets, things like that. It's almost like Squire's Paranormal series, but made by vintage. Just loads of different weird stuff. So they had all of that stuff is there, but the fellas that were there were saying that our guitar was one of the most popular on the stand. And in fact, on the first day, I noticed they kind of had it snuck around a corner. You'd had to really be on the stand to see it. And by the second day, they'd put it right on the outside as the main guitar at eye level. which is kind of nice.
Nice. So people obviously want it, which is good.
Yeah, exactly. So they're going to send
that to us soon.
Yeah, I guess so. They're going to send that to us soon, dear listener, and we're going to do a giveaway. I haven't quite worked out how I'm going to do the giveaway, but you, dear listener, all you people who voted, who chose all the specs for that guitar, one of you is going to win that guitar. Guitar Nerds is sponsored by Isotope and Native Instruments, two companies who provide the bulk of the recording and editing tools used by Guitar Nerds. If you have a home studio or if you're thinking about getting into demo recording from home, then Isotope and Native Instruments provide the tools that you need to make premium quality recordings with ease and with virtually no equipment other than your guitar and laptop. Isotope make all the voice editing and audio repair tools that I use for the podcast each week, and Native Instruments Guitar Rig 7 is one of the best, most comprehensive collections of virtual effects and guitar amplifiers available anywhere. Use discount code NERDS10 on any product in the Isotope and Native Instruments catalog for 10% off their fantastic range of tools. And I'll work out how we're going to go about that, but it's excellent, and I kind of wish I hadn't agreed to this second part where I said I'd give it away, because I sort of wanted
That's always the problem. It's always the problem. But no, I thought very cool, and again, it's great to see that process from start to finish and a really cool guitar at the end of it.
Exactly. Now, Matt, I want to talk about some of your favorite things as well. Before we go into that, I do want to make a little shout out, dear listener. Obviously, we've mentioned that we have the Stompbox exhibit coming up in 2 weeks in London. Please come to that, dear listener. If you're in the UK and you can get to London, it's going to be fantastic. We're going to be there. We're going to have a great time. And a few weeks after that, on Saturday the 23rd of March, there is the Alternative Guitar Show in Kingston in London, which is a super micro guitar show with just a handful of great brands, including Frederick Effects, including Thorpe, including Fidelity, including Zona Guitars. There's a load of others. That's not the only ones that are going to be there. It's its first year. we're going to be there. I'm very much trying to sort of boost and help out this new show, because the way I figure it is the more guitar shows in the UK, the better. We can't do anything on the scale of NAMM, so we're doing cool little guitar shows. The alternative guitar show is hopefully going to be one of many alternative guitar shows, just really micro shows done at small, cool venues. It's at the Fighting Cocks, which is a legendary rock and roll venue in Kingston. Come down. It's free entry. It's well good. Alternative Guitar Show is the name. You can check that out, all one word, on Instagram. Or, you know, I'll be posting about it on the Guitar Nerds group. So please do join us for that one. Matt Knight, cool. Let's talk about some of the things that you checked out at the show.
Yeah, let's start with Wynyard Guitars, which I think we spoke about maybe... We've definitely spoke about them before, because I think we saw them at another show.
Yes, I met them at the Birmingham the show. Guitar Show last year, and I was half cut, and I sort of started to agree to put down a deposit on one at a time where I absolutely didn't have the money to. But I had to sort of back out of that later on. But they make the best relics, like 51, 54 style P basses, Esquires, Telecasters. Mm. They do their weird stealth casters where they look like Esquires but have hidden pickups under the guard. Oh, the relicking is perfect. They are gorgeous.
We struck up a conversation because I had a Boss t-shirt on, and the guy was using an ME 80 to demo. Oh. And I'm going to remember his name and give him a shout out, because I think his name was... Oh, his name was Guy. I was like, this guy, and his name was Guy. Guy Lewis, chief mechanic at Wynyard Guitars. Yeah, I was using an ME80, and I was selling him basically up to an ME90. But one of the guitars that he had on display was his Stealthcaster series. He had a relic Stealthcaster in shell pink. So basically what this is a Tele with a humbucker in the bridge, but it still had a pickup selector on it and a volume and tone. So people were going...
So it's an Esquire.
So it's an Esquire, but actually very much inspired by legendary master builder John English, who used to work for Fender way back at the beginning, did something called, I think they were called the Stealth Guitars at that point, which basically had pickups underneath the scratch plate. Hmm. So it looked like an Esquire, but actually had other pickup sounds. The problem was that they were just normal pickups, and they weren't really particularly hot or balanced for being under the scratch plate.
I see.
But those guitars go for like £10,000 now. They're kind of like one of those sort of Fender gems, I guess, because John English was such a sort of legendary builder.
I didn't know these even existed.
Yeah, I think he was the guy that trained John Sir, and then obviously Sir gone on to make Sir guitars. Anyway, so he's made these with Bare Knuckle pickups, and in conjunction with Tim at Bare Knuckle, to make the right pickups for him and his guitar. Very much a kind of classic T style, but yeah, this kind of stealth thing, so you get a lot more pickup options on it. So right. I tried the pink one with the humbucker, and it was really nice. But then he was like, oh, try this blue one. So they had a Stealthcaster in Sonic Blue, which had a single pickup, you know, single coil in the bridge.
Oh, so still, it's like it's proper Tele bridge on it, this one.
Proper Tele bridge. Right. So again, looked way more like an Esquire, but had three controls on it and the switch. So basically, you've got effectively two high output neck and middle pickups under the scratch plate.
What,
and
like then single coils like a Strat then?
Single coils like a Strat underneath. Very cool. And because you had three, it basically meant that you had Strat wiring. So you kind of had these four and two positions that were very much kind of sort of twangy Strat sounds. You had a very kind of bright sort of country-esque bridge pickup, and then you had a real kind of Strat-like neck pickup. Really nice sort of chunky neck, rosewood board. I was like, I'm in. Absolutely, I'm in. I think it was one of the best guitars I've played in ages.
You are echoing exactly what I felt about playing his 51 style precision.
Yeah, well,
bass.
I think he had a 51 there in all black with matching headstock,
right?
Yeah. Which I thought was very cool. So I'd have loved to have seen this guitar in pink. because, you know, got to have another pink guitar, of course.
Good prices for what they are as well. Like, absolutely, they hit around the $2,000 to $2,500 mark, which
I think
that's expensive, dear listener, but when Fender's custom shops are now standardly $4,000, you know, that's or about $3,799, I guess, now is probably the average price for
Fender. I think what's cool, you know, I was just looking at the specs of this particular blue one. Swamp Ash body, quite high output neck and middle pickups, as I said. Soft C/D profiles are quite chunky. Maple neck, rosewood fingerboard, Graftec nut, so obviously high quality parts. Klusen tuners, brass saddles already. And then I've just remembered by looking at it, it was volume tone, and then the second one was a blender control, so it allowed you to blend the neck pickup in any position. So that kind of Gilmore type thing. And then effectively, you also get a comprehensive build book. So one thing that you can order is basically a book, and it's all the pictures of your guitar being built step by step, which is very cool, and comes in a hardback. So you get that with it as well. I think that guitar was, $2,350. So something very much sort of on my, I would absolutely love one of these. I'm sort of thinking it's time for a new guitar, Joe. So at some point this year, it's going to have to happen, I think.
Well, you haven't made your Guitar Nerds purchase of 2024 yet. So
I know.
There you go.
Maybe I'll need to order something because it will take like 9 months to wait, and then you just need to save up. Then might be fine.
Well, it comes out the company account can weather that sort of thing. These days. So, thank you very much, dear listener, because Guitar Nerds is back in the top 10 most listened to hobbies podcasts in Great Britain. As of this week, which is really nice. Really lovely to be there. Look, we're up 36 places
month
for month, which is really good. So we've had a big influx of listeners over the last month, which is that's lovely. Amazing. So thank you very much, everyone, for listening. We're up at number – we are 26th in Canada at the moment in the same place, which is up 70 places.
Canada.
Which is not bad. And 23rd in the US, which is only up 2 places. We sort of sit around there.
But 23rd in the games and hobbies. I mean, you know, think of all the hobby. I mean, isn't like the number one like bass fishing?
It's in the American one, the number one through to number 20 are guns, and then like it's fishing after that. So we are lucky to get into
So we're like the most listened to music hobby podcast, you know, we're just not at the top. But maybe we'll get there. Who knows? Wynyard guitars, very much into that. Oh, and he was an Ipswich Town supporter. Obviously, I'm from Ipswich Town. I don't support football, but well done. That's two fans now. I'm only joking. I was a big fan of Ipswich Town when I was a kid.
Well,
you had a signed football and everything.
You had a signed Ipswich football. Wow, that's impressive.
Very, very cool. They also had a kind of, I can't remember the guy's name now. I'm going to look up. I think it was, is it Chris Robinson? I can't remember what band he plays with, but his signature one, which was a one humbucker offset with Evertune bridge. Which is very, very cool. And I've just remembered where we saw these last time, Joe, and we talked about them. Brighton Guitar Show last summer.
Yeah, that's right. The Brighton Guitar Show as well.
That was definitely one of my picks. Obviously, if you put a pink guitar on the stand, I'm going to go and look at it. So that's a good way to get me over. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, now before we move on to the next thing, I want to talk about maybe some amps and some effects now as well. But before we do that, I want to do our sound sample of the week, dear listener, which ties very nicely into the guitar show. Because one of the companies that released something new at the guitar show were Buzzing Bugs Audio, a company that me and Matt and JD really love. We'd had a look at their last releases, the BB01, their Fuzz preamp, their harmonic percolator that they did, of course, very recently. They did their modulation device, which was kind of a slap back chorus lo-fi device in, you know, all sort of in one thing. It was really good. That was that fella, that Mac lo-fi guitar player, Mac
Mac DeMarco.
Mac DeMarco. It was like Mac DeMarco in a box. And that's what cool. The BBO3 was. But this, that's the last one, Matt. But this one, the BBO4, they've moved into overdrive. They felt they should have an overdrive. So they've done a transparent overdrive. In fact, dear listener, if you're watching on YouTube, here it is. This is the pedal. The BB04, I understand it's going to be the last in their numbered series. So their pedals have been the BB01, BB02, BB03. And this is the BB04 full range drive. They refer to it as volume, gain, and tone. Woo!
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Crazy controls, but also a body switch, which basically adds in a load of low end, which is very, very useful if you want a big full range drive. But with it defeated, you get kind of a lovely classic mid-pushed drive. I just think it's an excellent pedal at what it does. What it does is a very simple thing, but it does it incredibly well. So for the sound sample this week, I recorded the demo using very, very clean. It's just like a DI signal. I'm using the Corey Wong DI preset, which just sort of gives you a little bit of warmth, but it's very, very dry and clinical. And then I'm using everything from the BBO4 to sort of make the different guitar tones. Obviously, I've added a little reverb and stuff to thicken some of the guitar lines out. But all the stuff, excluding the bass, is done with the BBO4. I think it did a great boxy rhythm sound. And then like engaging the body switch gave me a really nice, thicker lead tone. I just kind of felt it did a good job of everything. So here's the track. You can have a listen, then Matt and I will talk about it afterwards. There you go, dear listener. That was the Buzzing Bugs Audio BBO4 full range drive.
Joe, when did you join Feeder? It sounded exactly like Feeder.
It is that.
When did you buy a CD player, Joe? Because I need to know when you bought a CD player.
It's not even in a different key. I was like, oh, it's because that song is just A and D, right? With the, you know, with the little flat in the interim. And I was playing it, and I was like, oh, this actually is Feeder. I should put in a couple of other chords or something to make it not exactly Feeder, but it is pretty close, isn't it?
I saw Feeder when I was 14 or 15 at Ipswich Regent, and it was fantastic. I mean, when they played that song, man. Oh,
well, dream. I mean, Taka Hirosha, the bass player in Feeder, does now own a bass guitar company. I can't remember the name, but he does make bass guitars now.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I can't remember, but it sounds great. And again, we've sort of loved everything that Buzzing Bugs have done thus far.
Yeah.
And that sounded great. And again, another great demo from Joe Branton, I thought.
Thanks. Thanks. No problem. Just showing you it in context, dear listener, because, of course, I'm not really very good at the old solos and the old fiddling around lead work. So I wanted to show the sort of pedal, how it would work, I felt, in a band context. I just think, you know, it's difficult to talk excitedly about, you know, mid gain overdrives, isn't it? Because there are so many out there. But I certainly felt that this sounded naturally brilliant without too much tweaking. You know, it's just a master tone control. I had it kind of dimed to get it a bit more bitey, but I think that's the nature of sort of running a drive into plugins, to be honest, more than anything else. They get a bit thick and swampy. But I thought it sounded great at low gain settings, great at higher gain settings, which were still quite mid-pushed. And that body switch, just great if you want something full range that gives you loads of low end and like a big bump in that area. But also, you know, with it cut, which was kind of my preferred setting, it gave me a lovely, thin sounding overdrive. I just kind of feel like it's hard to push something to go, it's a really great standard overdrive, because that sounds bad, but it's a really great, just simple, like, do you want an overdrive, but just need it to sound great? Well, that's what that is. Really good pedal. Really enjoyed it. Plenty of time for everything Buzzing Bugs do.
Nice.
Yeah. Lovely.
Nice. Shall I talk about some amps, Joe?
Why not? Let's talk about some amps, because there were some new releases, right, at the show.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'm going to talk about the same brand that you were going to talk about, but I made a point of introducing myself to a few people, because I have moved to a different part of the world, as most people who have listened to the podcast for a while know. And when I say different part of the world, I meant to just a more remote part of England, but to the wonderful Norwich.
Of which shocking there are amount of brands are in and
it's,
around Norwich.
It's fantastic.
Though.
I love it. We've got Marcus Deluxe. We've got Funny Little Boxes, and we've got Noisy Hammer. So I made a point of going over to see Ryan and his wife, whose name I forget, so I'm really sorry.
But also, the other person at Noisy Hammer is also called Ryan. Not Ryan's wife, but the other guy who works at the company is also called Ryan. Two Ryan.
So went over and introduced myself, and they very kindly also offered me a lift home, because I was like, no, I've got to, you know, because I was like, oh, it's going to be a crap journey from Solihull all the way back to Norwich. And having now done that journey, because it was also a rail replacement, I really wish I'd taken that van journey. It was such a crappy journey on the way home. Three different trains and a bus. That's across. Awful.
Mine was rail replacement as well, Matt. So it's okay. Yeah, I could only get back to Brighton and then get the bus from there. But of course, there's actually a really good pub next to Brighton Station. And I was like, oh, there's like a quarter of an hour. I'll go to the pub. And then I missed the bus. And so I just stayed in the pub, and then my girlfriend had to come to Brighton and get
brilliant. I love it.
Pretty upset about that. Anyway, sorry.
So I went and introduced myself to Noisy Hammer. Because I'd seen their stuff on Revo. I didn't realise they were based in Norwich until I'd sort of spoke to Marcus and a few other people. And they just had one of the coolest stands, because there was just so much wood everywhere. He was just like, you know, I make cabs, and, you know, Zilla make great cabs, and they put loads of great Tolex and stuff on, but I just want everything to be like wood.
That's a great way of describing the company, dear listener, if you're not aware of what Noisy Hammer do. They essentially started life rehousing cabinets into just gorgeous pieces of well-treated wood, and they're expanding into amplifiers now, but they're
yes They actually officially launched their Juno range of amplifiers at the show.
Three sizes, 5, 15, and 50, I believe.
Yes.
I went to, they did a talk. They did a talk as well, launching those amps. I was at that.
Yeah, you went to the talk. I was too busy. But you had loads of free time to look at this in a bit more detail.
I did.
But the good thing is they live 15 minutes from my house, so I'm going to go to the workshop and annoy them there. But yeah, so as you said, the 5, the 15, the 50. And also, which I thought was the best thing, to be honest, was the Juno reverbs. They've made a separate reverb tank using a 17-inch spring tank.
They're amp top reverb tanks, right?
Yes, they are amp top reverb tanks, but they've built it in a way that has inputs and outputs on the front and the back. So depending on how you want to use it in a studio, you might want to just plug in on the front and the back, or you might want to have it permanently wired into an amplifier in an effects loop. And I was like, oh, that's funny, because I've been looking for an amp top reverb for ages and there's not really many out there. Basically the Fender one, which you can't really get, and the, I think Benson make one or Milkman make one. Can't get them in the UK. So
Behringer make one.
Yeah, Behringer now make a Eurorack version, which is, you know, kind of cool. But I think, you know, this was like, oh, this is like a proper hand-wired, you know, spring tank reverb. Their amps sounded very cool. It was very much into the 15 sort of single channel. I think the 15, if I remember right, the 5 is single channel, 15 is twin channel, and then the 50 is the same topology as the 15, but obviously
you're right.
Slightly
yeah,
louder.
It's just the 15 and 50 the same, and they've introduced like a push.
Yeah.
Drive channel, basically.
Yeah, and if he was saying that he wanted something that was very clean, but loves the JCM 800, so it had to have that kind of drive, but also the immediacy and sort of play feel of like a Dumble as well. And
yes,
sort of
that's right. So
all those elements.
They told me that they got a Dumble, a JCM, and a WEM.
A WEM. That was it. WEM Dominator, maybe?
Dominator, thank you. Yeah, they got those three and they basically listened to them. And they didn't take, they basically listened to the parts of them that they liked, looked at the parts of them they liked and took those. So it's not that it does a Marshall sound, a WEM sound, a Dumble sound. It's that they looked at what was great about those amplifiers and then blended them together to make something new and different.
Yeah, which is very cool. But yeah, I'd not really come across this brand until recently, and then it was great to go there and great to know that they're on the doorstep, and now I'm just like, oh, everything they make is wicked. You know, and actually one of the coolest things I thought they had there, because they make lots of different cabs and a great alternative cab option to Zilla, which we've talked about a lot, and you know, I love Zilla, but I think one of the crazy things they had there, Joe, which I don't know if you noticed, was that they had made a speaker cab that looked like the Doctor Who TARDIS.
Yeah, I did see that.
And I was like, that is awesome. I mean, it was also great that they bought an N64 with Mario Kart, although I don't think they had much chance to play it.
No, but they were busy the whole weekend.
They were very, very busy the whole weekend. But yeah, it was just great to see. It was great to see they've launched amps. It's great to know that they are local. And just so many cool custom options. Definitely worth checking out. I want to spend more time with the amp.
Yeah.
Because I think it sounds really good. Again, Joe, you know, we've already said it. It's it's just trying stuff at shows is rubbish when it's really loud, because you just don't really get a feel for it. It's not really your environment. So, you know, I think it'd be nice that I can go there. And we said maybe about getting them on the podcast at some point. One other thing that they also make, which you have to check out, because there's not many people in the UK making this, and we've talked about something similar before, but they also make very cool wooden guitar stands as well.
Do
which
they?
Look really, really,
I didn't
really
know they did
nice.
That.
Yeah. So make a 5A, you like this particular feature. It's a 5-way guitar stand with integrated bottle opener. So on one side, there's a little bottle opener so you can crack open your beer and pick up your guitar, which is very cool.
That's very cool. I'm into that.
£290, but all handcrafted, proper wood cabinet. Just looks really sleek. I can definitely see me going, can you make one of these for my studio when I move in? Noisy Hammer, definitely worth checking out. New on the market for amps, been making cabs for ages, but new on the amp front, so definitely go and check them out. They also, for all you modelers out there, they make FRFR cabinets, which is very cool. So they make, especially for Kemper and Helix.
I think there's a move to go there. Exactly. The issue with FRFR stuff is that it all looks pretty rubbish, and there are people out there like myself who would love to use gear like Quad Cortex, like Helix, like GT, but I still want an amp behind me that doesn't look rubbish. And as long as everyone's making wedge-shaped monitor style things rather than proper amplifier things, I'm not going to get into it. This company, they're very good. They're definitely worth looking out.
Definitely worth checking out. So, and I think, hopefully we'll see more from them and hear more from them in the future. So it was great to go there and great to add more people local to me that I can now annoy that I live in Norwich.
Absolutely. Now we are coming towards the end of this episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. Dear listener, Matt and I are obviously going to go into the Patreon, patreon.com/Guitar Nerds. Dear listener, if you've not checked it out before, there are several tiers that you can join to get extra episodes, extra content each week. Before we do, Matt, I feel like we should try and get in one thing extra each, maybe before we go, or maybe just one thing. Let's get in one thing.
I can do a quick thing, I think, Joe. I want to give a shout out to I think the best looking stand of everyone. Noisy Hammer, very, very close, actually.
Noisy Hammer, but excellent.
James's Home of Tone. Aesthetically, I mean, James has a fantastic beard. Obviously, I'm very much in the beard game at the moment.
He dresses well.
He does. I like his glasses. I like his whole thing.
He makes his wife and his parents, who always end up being the staff, also he dresses them well. I mean, because he basically puts them in the same clothes he's wearing.
Yeah,
for the whole show.
And I just thought the best looking stand. I just thought it was great. And man, like, his wiring harness is so well presented.
Have you seen that he's doing Jazzmaster wiring harnesses and Jaguar wiring harnesses now?
Yeah. Set up,
which is all with all the rollers and everything that you need.
Talking about it now has made me realize I forgot to go back to his stand and buy some of his merch, because he also made some fantastic merch.
Yeah, I didn't to go buy back a t-shirt, but there was a literal queue at his stand for the entire time that we were there. And I only got to speak to him, I think, once on the Friday during setup. I went back to try and talk to him on the Saturday during the show. Constant customer footfall, because as you say, the stand looked great. James's Home of Tone, dear listener, if you've not checked them out before, he largely makes sort of accessories. He retails pedals for brands, right on straps. He does the straps that you like, right, Matt? Mother Mary?
Mother Mary, best straps. The person I work with went and bought a very nice pink flowery Mother Mary strap. Absolutely the best. And then I saw he bought one. I was like, probably going to have to buy another one now. They are the best straps. Hands down.
Yeah. If you've got no morals, then yes, they are the best straps. If you do, then right on are the best straps, dear listener.
But, of course.
He does both of them for each side of the war. But he also does amazing harnesses. He does those pet boxes that are being that are now back in production.
Yeah.
Which is really cool, and just a great range of pedals.
Yeah.
Very cool. A very cool stand indeed.
Very, very cool stand.
Yes, absolutely. Now, before we go, Matt, I do want to thank all of our Patreon supporters, our top tier Patreon supporters, as we do every week, because without you, dear listeners, Matt and I wouldn't be able to do this all the time and, flamboyantly go to guitar shows and...
I think as well, I would also say thank you to every podcast listener that came up and said something to either me or Joe over the course of the weekend as well, because it's great to meet people that listen to the pod, realize that actual real people listen to it. And again, they might not be in the industry, as it were, or some of them anyway, but just to be part of the Guitar Nerds Collective, it was great to see so many people. So thanks for everyone that came up and said something at the show as well.
Absolutely. Completely agree. It was lovely. Anyway, without further ado, thank you very much to Nicholas Strom, Rocket Rob Patterson, Phil Sadler, Marcus Deluxe, Suresh, Dorsonic Pickups, Rob Witherden, Anton Fryant, Barry Gresbick, Steve Davis, John Conway, Yogi the Guitarist, Ty Allen, Kyle Harris, Sean Hughes, Andy Hoffler, Eric Hemmer, Jeffrey Wax, Dan Pilver, Brian Einsler, Dylan Griffiths, Mark Hizal Kadawaki, Eric File, Peter Peche, Chris Franklin, Andy Manley, Joe Puttick, Blake Weiland, Phil Radomski, Dave Lee, Ross Edwards, Jason Wharton, James Dorr, Jake Gray, Derek Rich, Scott Kennedy, Steve Merkel, Abe Matthews, Christopher Loseth, Stephen Burke, Robin Smith, Kytopia the Band, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Rob Nordvik, Scott O'Brien, and of course, Moog Gravett, whose birthday it was the other day. Happy birthday.
Moogie boy.
Exactly. So, dear listener, Matt and I are going to continue on to Patreon, where we're going to talk about more of our favorite things from the guitar show, because the list is we've barely touched a quarter of it. Fortunately, next week, me and JD are going to revisit some of the other things, because there were just so many great things at this year's guitar show that, dear listener, you need to know about. If you love guitars, as you probably do if you listen to an hour of us rambling every week, these are things you need to know about. We're going to head over to Patreon, patreon.com/guitar nerds. We'll see you there for more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Goodbye.